behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs. Put your finger right there. Me and Brother Kevin, I'd been down to Christ Hospital, seen my grandma, and came back. And that evening, Tuesday evening, Brother Kevin called me. We went over. He took me to a gravel pit, and we went fishing. And there were a lot of frogs over there. And I've done some frog gigging. I don't like to eat frog legs. You might like them. But me and Ken Maloney used to gig frogs. And every frog I ever gigged, every time we fried them up, all I could ever do was taste the creek in them or the pond. I know it's in my head probably, but I just can't stand frog legs. I've tried to eat them at restaurants. Years ago, we all went down to Davy's Buffet on seafood night, a bunch of us young people from Dryden Road, and me and my wife, just newly married, and they put us in a special room. It was a great meal, but everybody was piling their plates full of frog legs, not me. I don't care for frog legs. And don't care for them. But there was frogs everywhere. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into thy house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. Boy, they're everywhere, aren't they? And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams and over the rivers and over the ponds, and caused frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with enchantments and brought up frogs from the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? Now you got frogs everywhere. They're in your cereal bowl. They're in your bed. You go to hug your wife and you squish a frog. They're everywhere. I step on a lot of things. No doubt they were stepping on a lot of frogs. They were everywhere. But I don't understand why Pharaoh, well, I do understand, but and Moses and Aaron went and said, and he said, that they may remain in the rivers only. He said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Now they said, one writer said, the reason Pharaoh wanted it to be done instead of today, to be done tomorrow, is because if he could have got his musicians to do any kind of little tricks and things, they would have got rid of the frogs, and he could have told his people and showed the people of Israel, look, Moses is no better than my musicians, and your God's no better than our God. But he said tomorrow, and he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy house, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses. Hallelujah. And out of the villages, and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. But up in verse 9, and Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. I want to preach a little while on tomorrow. Don't have no notes on it. Just feel like we need to preach a little while. We're always waiting for tomorrow. I've missed a lot of pretty days hoping for tomorrow. We've lived our life a lot of times just hoping for tomorrow. I mean, we always hope of a better day tomorrow, and we're missing the blessings God give us. We had a sister I knew years ago, and Every time I come around her, she'd say, "Brother Mike, we got to pray and fast. We've got to seek God. You know, we've got to get a hold of God. Our young people are lost. Our husbands are lost. You know, the people are dying, lost." And I thought, yeah, you're right. But what about what God has done already? You know, the Lord healed the 10 lepers. Only one turned back and thanked him. And we're always looking for tomorrow. I've missed my whole life a lot of times hoping for tomorrow. When we was growing up, we every year around this time, I was thinking about yesterday, we always took a trip down to Kentucky to my grandpa and grandma Ferguson had a trailer down there on 80 acres next to, they call it Yoakum Falls, right outside of Blaise, Kentucky. And we would go down there and stay in the trailer and we always, the boys, we always played in the creeks and played in the caverns and on the hillside. In fact, back when I was evangelizing, I was preaching a few services down in that area down in November a couple years back, and I took Norma and the girls down. Norma, she sat in the van. She maybe was afraid she was going to step on a frog or something. She sat in the van. I took the girls down over the cliffs and down in the little caverns and stuff, and we built a fire and roasted a hot dog, and I showed the girls around where me and Mark had scratched our name. On the rock, it's still there because the weather don't get back in that crevice of the rock. And you know, I was always missing the joy of what I had in the day because I was hoping for a better tomorrow. And we always, when we would go down to Kentucky, I'd look at that calendar and I'd start counting down the weeks. I mean, I couldn't wait to get to go to Kentucky, down there to have a week with my cousins and get down there and play and have a good time. But you know, brother, there was a lot of days that I just sat and wished the whole day away because I was waiting for tomorrow. You talk to somebody that's lost, and I've noticed one of my friends, it looks like he's on his way out again. And I thought, Lord, what's it going to take? Don't he realize that today is the day of salvation? And I don't know what he's looking for. If he thinks tomorrow's going to come and everything, he'll make everything right with God and have peace with God and make everything. Sad thing about it is, Brother Dale, tomorrow don't always come for some people. There's people right now at quarter till 7. They'll be in eternity by midnight. Their tomorrow will never come. And I thought, oh God, they're wasting the day. Today is the day of salvation. There's people right now in this church, they're thinking, if I could just get to youth camp and get in a good service, I know I'll get help there. Yes, you will. But what about today? Hallelujah. Brother, what about tonight? I know you've come a long way. You came to have church. We're not hoping for tomorrow. Tomorrow God will be there for us. The mercy will be there when tomorrow comes. For tomorrow, the grace to go through tomorrow will be there when the sun rises. But we're in today. It's the here and now. And what about praise of God now?
You're preaching right.
I wish for the day that I was married. I just couldn't wait for the day that I was married. Could you? I got the wrong guy. I just couldn't. Have you ever thought about tomorrow? Is there ever going to be a tomorrow that you might walk down that aisle? Who knows? I wish for the day. Ha! Glory to God. But you know, as I was praying in Mom's living room, Mom and Dad's living room, grabbed the Afghan off the, or whatever you call it, a crocheted rug that's always thrown over our couch. Grabbed it up, rolled it up, Brother Dale. I was praying serious. I really was. We're supposed to put God first. Above Joanna. Above Eric. We are. And I said, God, I'm tired of looking. Poor old Sister Tillman, every time somebody come along, had a young girl, she'd say, Brother Mike, that might be God's will for you. Well, I got a couple dates out of it, her being the go-between, but it wasn't God's will. But I prayed that night and I said, Lord, I don't care if I live the rest of my days without a wife. I said, I just want to keep you first. I want somebody, if they're out there, that's going to be spiritual, that puts you before me, that's going to have convictions, that's going to live holiness, that's going to have a burden to do a work for God. Not that we're going to set the world on fire, but that I want to do whatever God says to do. Not be rebellious, but just say yes to God. Say no to their flesh and no to themselves and say yes to God. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I cried over that rug. And I had the Lord come down. And I didn't have no revelation given to me. But I just kept on praying. And I said, Lord, it's in your hands. The very next night, here I was. I thought, you know, it's going to be years down the road. I'd be at some big camp meet. That's how God surprised me. You know, we always think our tomorrow is going to be something. I don't know, but we always think it's going to be something, you know, just one day we're going to get up and just everything's going to be changed and the birds are going to have a new song. It was just another day like always, but I just made myself a commitment on a Friday night to take my grandma to a little country church and hear her brother sing bluegrass gospel, which I love, and went to that little church. Same little church, had the same pastor for years. He died up in his 90s. And my mom got the Holy Ghost in that church when she was 17 and had the same pastor then. And I just went to that little church. Brother Dale, I was really in that church that night expecting, you know, greater things tomorrow. But I didn't know my answer was going to come shouting right in front of me that night. And I didn't know it was going to be the very next day. And I got in service, and here come Norma, a little dark, brown-eyed, and dark hair, and shouting in front of me. And I thought, hey, praise the Lord. And people started coming around to me and saying, are you going with anybody? I said, no. And they went to her, and before it was all over, they had me testify, and a pastor come to me and said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come preach for me and bring her to come sing. I said, would you come and sing? She said, I sure will. Hallelujah. And you know what, Brother Dale? What I didn't even expect, God had my answer. Here I was, I expected some great big thing, you know what I mean? Some great big service, some great big camp meeting, and here God had it all planned out. It had to be God, a little bitty country church, just at the right time, the right moment, it was God moving. And I'm so thankful that that night I took my grandma and took a Friday night and said no to run around with my friends and took my grandma on a date because I met my wife, glory to God, and she's been a blessing to me. And I know I've embarrassed her, but I love her. I want to say this. There's so many times we miss out because we think tomorrow is going to hold more than what God could do today. And I want to ask you, is God's power limited today than what he could do tomorrow? He can do anything. Hallelujah. He's able. I love it. I love it. I was trying to get answers from God. I didn't know what in the world was going on. I was praying, and I just resigned my church. Lois was dying of cancer. I was talking to Glenn about it. We was out here working yesterday. And I said, Glenn, I didn't understand why you got leukemia. And I questioned God about it in Kentucky. And all God told me, it wasn't no great revelation, but he said, they can handle it. I'll see them through. And I said, Glenn, how long was you sick? He said, 5 long years. But you know what, Dale? Tomorrow finally came. He's well now. He's a miracle for God. He's got a testimony and a witness. I never get tired of hearing what God's done for Glenn. And he said, Mike, I just some days got so tired of being sick. And I just wanted to go on. And I was down there praying, trying to figure out God's will, trying to get some answers, and I couldn't understand why things was happening. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes we feel like, and it's not to belittle the men of God, we feel like if we can get tomorrow in a service with one of the great preachers of our movement, one of the men of God, if we can get Brother Gavin to pray for us, if we can get Brother L.D. Moore to give us a word, we always hope for tomorrow. And I thought, Lord, I'm in Kentucky. I got a job to do. And if I can just get through this week, we're going to go get an answer from God. And I was seeking God, trying to find an answer. And I got to to walking in the back of my truck, and I'd look down. I know some of you have heard this, some of you ain't though. And I told you I was sick, and I just felt like this is the way I need to preach. But brother Jimmy, things didn't make sense, and I was trying to get an answer. And you know, I don't know, I just thought if I can get at some great camp meeting, God to reveal things to me, God to show me things, God to tell me what to do next. And I walked in that little bitty truck after looking down, after talking to Norma on the phone. I found a dime, and I picked the dime up. I thought, that's kind of strange. And I walked in the truck, and the one that I've been wanting to hear from, and I thought I had to be at a camp meeting before God would come down, in the back of a potato chip truck in Brooksville, Kentucky, around 6 o'clock in the evening, the answer that I was thinking was going to be tomorrow down the road. God was waiting for me with my answer, and I got in that truck, and God started speaking to me. It wasn't a great loud voice, but glory to God, He began to talk to my heart, and He began to tell me some things. He began to tell me that He never has forsaken me, that He knew exactly where I was. He still sees a sparrow when he falls, and He knows right where I am, and He knows what I've been praying about. And He said, you've been looking for the answer, and it's been here right along. I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. I've not turned my back on you. The devil was telling you heaven's gone silent, that I don't care, that I've turned a deaf ear. But He said, it's a lie from the pits of hell. He said, I still love you. I still care for you. And you've been a calling upon me, and I've been hearing you. Glory to God. I got my answer. God began to talk to me. And that little dime, I was preaching that day with Kevin. As we seen those frogs, we started walking down a gravel road, and all those gravels, just out in the middle of nowhere. I looked down, started laughing, dug it out, all covered in dirt. I said, Kevin, look at this. It is strange. But look at that. Found a dime. Kevin started laughing. The guy that was with us works with Kevin. He said, man, you get pretty excited about a dime, don't you? I said, you better believe it. You better believe it. Because I talked to Brother Collins about it. I said, something's going strange with me. But I said, when I find him, God begins to talk to me. He said, it's God. Can I tell you, we look over a lot of things. We try to find answers somewhere down the road tomorrow when the answer's right in front of you. It might just be waiting for you at that altar if you'll just make your way down there. But a lot of people say, tomorrow, Mike, I'll make my altar. Tomorrow, I'll make my peace with God. Tomorrow, I'll get my answer. When all along, God's waiting on you to come to the altar and make things right. I begin to think, so many times we've missed opportunities, thinking what needed was today was not that important. And we've had big plans for tomorrow, but it's just as important what the work is today. We've been doing some work around the church, and some people's voiced their opinion to me. Nobody's smart, just voicing their opinion. I said, well, I'm just doing what I've told to do. But I know it don't draw souls closer to the altar, but it's God's work. It needs to be done. And if we're thinking, well, when homecoming comes, then we'll get up there tomorrow, we'll really put forth the best foot for God. What about now? I love it on services when people feel like there's going to be nothing happen. Now, Brother Collins is gone Wednesday. I was trying to take care of service. Some people was laughing. I always get remarks back because people tell me, some people sit back and laugh, so that's fine. You can laugh all you want. While you're sitting there laughing, we're putting our best foot forward for God and trying to do something. You're waiting for tomorrow when everybody's there and all the limelight's going to be on you. It amazes me how everybody gets spiritual when the house gets full. Well, that's truth. That is the truth. Everybody wants to sing a special when we got 450, 500 people in this church. Everybody gets the burden to sit on the platform when we got a youth rally. Everybody gets the burden to work the altars when we got visiting pastors. It's the truth. You can sit there quiet if you want. But I want to tell you, Well, the Lord moved Wednesday night. Nobody can replace Brother Collins, and we're not trying to. I love Brother Collins. It's hard enough with the pastor being gone to have service. But the Holy Ghost did move. Some sisters got help. They came to us and told us, God helped us. One sister told me, said, I got my answer from God. I thought, thank God. Because maybe if she'd have tried to think, well, there's no sense going tonight. Brother Collins ain't going to be there. She may not have got her answer. And I love how God moves. Seems like some of the lowest crowds we've ever had. Brother Mike Allen told me, said, Brother Barker, one of the best services we've ever in. We had bad weather. And I may not be telling exactly right anyway, that something was wrong, probably bad weather. He said we had just a handful of people show up. But he said we had one of the most glorious services that we ever had. No, I said people shouted, they spoke in tongues, people got helped. I mean, just everything happened that night because God honored those faithful few. They didn't look for tomorrow or a convenient time. They said, we're going to praise God now. One thing I've been learning from Brother Collins, you just take, sometimes I think, man, you know, if I could just plan things out more. But I realize with Brother Collins, he moves as the Lord moves on him, and you just got to be ready. My plans got changed this week some, but it don't matter. He does put God's work first, and I like him for that. We always think, well, you know, if we can have tomorrow, it'll be a little better. But tomorrow will have its trouble too. I mean, the same devil. You know, I was walking you around the church a while ago, and I thought that when I got married and, you know, got in church, you know, got us a house and got married, and, you know, had all these dreams for tomorrow. And got the girl I was in love with. I mean, I really thought she would end up telling me goodbye and marrying a lawyer. She worked with him. They made a whole lot more money than what I did. But you know what? She had her eyes on me. And she had her eyes on God. And she didn't realize God just showed her what a great catch I was. Got her eyes off them lawyers. And I've told her a lot of times, I said, you could be living in a $500,000 house, driving a new car, flying, and have your hair all cut off and go to the beauty parlor and go to have your pedicure and manicure and whatever cure you want. And I don't know, you know, maybe your back cured. I don't know whatever kind of cure you want, but you know, she could have anything she wanted, Brother Dale, but her soul would be lost. And she decided to go with this little stupid preacher that didn't know much but did have a desire to live for God and had a fear of God. And I thank God for that. And I thought when we got married and got our house, and I just thought everything would be beautiful. But I got up after I said I do, and I got up in my kitchen, and she may have burnt my supper, I don't know, but maybe I stepped on her toe. What I realized was we still got problems, and we've still got the devil to face. And as much as I want everything to be perfect, it wasn't perfect. It just ain't perfect. We're not in heaven, and we're going to have battles. And you know, we're always looking for tomorrow to be better, and tomorrow to be you know, where we can I don't know. Seem like we always paint tomorrow with such a pretty picture. And you know, I was out here walking across the church grounds the other day. No, I was on the tractor. I was mowing. And I wear a headset. I listen to the radio when I get tired of thinking. And they come on with that song that boy sings, talking about butterfly kisses. I don't know what butterfly kisses are. Don't give me one. But anyway, they got to talking about a little girl. And a little girl. And then the next thing you know, she's 16. Then the next thing you know, she says she'll change her name today. And I thought, Lord, my girls are growing up. Everywhere we go preaching, they say, I can't believe that's your girls, Mike. I can't believe that's your girls, Norma. They're, you know, and they're growing up, and we're letting today pass by looking for tomorrow. And before we know it, Brother Dale, they're going to be up and married and gone. And tomorrow, you know, it's going to be gone. We're missing the opportunity. We're missing the opportunity. What we got right now, right now. I thought, God, help me. Help me to take time with my girls. I mean, when I lived in Kentucky, I felt like I just was down there working in the church and working for Frito-Lay, and my family was second fiddle. I thought, God, I've got a lot of time to make up, and I'm trying to do better. But brother,
Your kids are going to be grown before you know it. And I'm not talking that I know anything, but I can't help it. I got one girl 13 and one girl 11, soon to turn 12. And Brother Dale, it just seemed like yesterday they was that tall. Just seemed like yesterday they was crawling on my lap. Just seemed like yesterday they was saying, Daddy's home. Daddy's home. And I thought, oh God, we're looking for tomorrow for a better day and a pretty picture, and we're missing the opportunity we've got right now. And the blessings we've got right now, we're missing it. Young people, I don't know what you have need of. You just got need the Holy Ghost. If you can get it right now. You that need the Holy Ghost, you need a closer walk. You that's been playing around not being committed with God. I don't know what you're waiting for. If you think it's going to be easier tomorrow, it will not be. You just got to make your mind up, get a fear of God, and go on. Go on. I'm feeling pretty good. I know I need to close. Everybody stand to your feet, but I want to tell you, as you stand, Brother Dale, the same times I found those dimes, I found this dime, 1896. Hope I ain't lost it. Get on your hands and knees and find that. 1896. I called a man up who collects coins. I said, I got to ask you a question. How much is it worth for a 10-cent piece? He said, how old is it? I said, 1896. I'll tell you right now, it's worth a whole lot more than a dime. And what you feel like ain't important right now, let a few tomorrows come. You'll realize how valuable they was. You know, Brother Dale, I look back on my life, and it ain't the times that I had a pocket full of money. I was buying new clothes or taking my wife down to a fancy dinner. That ain't the things that I think about. I think about the times we just, simple days. Yes. Taking the kids to the park, taking the kids for a ride, going down to United Dairy Farmers to get an ice. Just simple things. You've been there, Brother Shockley. We'll cry together over that song a few times, I guess. But you know, that's what you... That's what you hold precious in your life. It ain't the times that you think would be magnificent. It's just those simple times, everyday life, living for God. You know what's precious to me? When me and my family all come to the house of God together, I see my girls in the altar crying and praising God and drawing nigh to God. I see my wife over in her corner at her altar seeking God, and the Holy Ghost is moving. That's glorious times. That's precious times, and we can have them again tonight. Find you a place to pray. Find you a place to pray.